In just a couple of weeks, we will enter into that very special and particular liturgical season of Lent. A season, a period of time, when God opens the doors of grace, maybe just a little wider. When he offers grace to all those who wish to receive grace. And I think we all want to receive a little more grace. Graces being those things that God sends us, those helps that he sends us, so that we might have the intelligence to understand what it is God wants from us, to know his holy will, and the courage and the strength to persevere in it, to do it. Now, while graces in themselves are free, that's where the word grace comes from, gratis, they're gratuitous, they're not merited per se, they're merited by Christ. While this is true, nevertheless, it is also true that we can always be better disposed to receive graces. And that's why we wear things like the miraculous medal and the grand scapular, why we bless ourselves with holy water, why we receive blessings, why we pray, etc., etc. Because we wish to be more disposed to receive graces from God. Disposition just means to make the ground more fertile in order that the seed of grace might bear the fruit of which it was intended to bear. Now, with Lent coming, Lent is that time that gives us that very special opportunity to prepare ourselves for these graces. And that opportunity is, in a special way during Lent, the practice of penance. I will eventually get to Our Lady. I know this is supposed to be about Our Lady. We'll get there. As you all know, penance is today one of those words which is possibly one of the most misunderstood concepts, misunderstood words, maybe even despised. We live in what you'd call hedonistic society, that is, one that's always seeking the greatest pleasure. In fact, anything that is not pleasurable, is not good. Anything that has any kind of suffering involved is evil, is useless. That's what the world will tell us. But in 1854, Our Lady came to remind us, not to tell us for the first time, that's certain, but to remind us and remind the whole world that it is not the case. That is, that suffering is not useless, that penance is not an evil. And not only are they not useless, not only are they not evil in themselves, but they can even be redemptive when done so, when done with that intention by a Christian. They can contribute to our salvation, and we all want to be saved, I'm assuming. We all want to get to heaven. They can contribute to our salvation, to our sanctification, and the salvation of others, of all men. This is something we should be aiming for. St. Maximilian always said that. He wanted the maximum glory of God and the salvation of the maximum amount of souls. We should not limit God by our own littleness, but we should aim for the stars and beyond them. At Lourdes, the feast of which we'll celebrate on the 11th, Our Lady came to remind us of this, remind us of the gospel of her divine Son, who tells us that we must repent and do penance. He didn't say just during the homily, Father was talking about that, some of the mistakes of the separated brethren, that all you have to do is proclaim the name of Jesus, proclaim him as your Lord and Savior, and everything's okay. Well, that's not exactly what our Lord said. I'm still not quite sure exactly how they've come up with that, but nevertheless, what he has said is that we must repent and do penance. And each year, Lent is that opportunity when we can do that, when we can look at it more seriously. We can take a good look at our spiritual life and see where we're failing. And unfortunately, we are all failing, unless, of course, I have the Blessed Virgin Mary sitting in front of me, which I hope you're all trying to imitate, by the way. So Lent is that opportunity to do just that, to take up our custom-made cross. Each one of us has a custom-made cross made by Christ himself, the good carpenter. To take up that custom-made cross and commence our journey towards Calvary, towards our passion, towards our death, and then towards our resurrection. And sometimes that might all happen in one day. Sometimes it feels like it happens in 1 hour. Sometimes it feels like it might happen more than once in the hour. But nevertheless, that is the life of the Christian, if you will. The cycle, the Christian cycle of death and resurrection until the final resurrection. But penance is more than that. Putting aside the question of personal sin, that is, penance as a means of reparation for sin, of repairing sin, penance is not just that. We could even say that penance makes part of the very essence of the Christian life, part of Christian profession. Jesus himself said, "He who wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me." Our Lady herself, immaculate though she is, that means she never committed any sin, she never had any fault, she never had any reason to go to confession, she never had any reason to do penance for herself. There was no reparation for her to make. And yet, did she suffer and did she do penance? Certainly, we know that she did. And then what for? For a very similar reason that Christ himself did, to add to our redemption, to suffer for us, vicariously is the proper word, in place of another. And she asked Saint Bernadette also to do penance. She asked her to eat bitter grass, to walk on her knees, to drink muddy water. And what had this poor, young, innocent girl done? I can't imagine, having what I've read and know about Saint Bernadette, I can't imagine that she had even committed a mortal sin up to that point in her life. But nevertheless, Our Lady asked her to do this penance. And why? So that other sinners may be converted. We must really bear this in mind, that penance is a part of our life. And that's not something to be upset about, something to be discouraged about. Oh, I mean, I have to suffer for the rest of my life? Well, the quick answer is yes. You do. We all do. But it doesn't just end with that response. First of all, we need to think about the very fact that our Lord suffered, and we can say, in a certain sense, did penance for us, if you like, that Our Lady suffered, that Saint Bernadette suffered and did penance, that the three shepherds of Fatima did penance, did real heavy-duty penance. Young kids wearing salices, that is, penitential ropes and things, of sleeping on the ground, of not eating their lunch. These little children who certainly, almost unthinkable that they could have any kind of serious sin on their soul. In fact, Our Lady said that two of them would go straight to heaven, and that Francisco just had to just pray a few rosaries if he wanted to go there immediately. These kids were doing all this penance, and we want to avoid it. We feel that it's useless, or that we're above it, or it's not necessary. It's just enough for us to, even if we go to church on Sunday, thanks be to God, that's the minimum God asks of us. But if we want to be perfect, if we want to fulfill God's will perfectly, completely, then there is more to it. Then we need to follow these examples, not just of the saints, but of our Lord and of Our Lady themselves. And so, to refuse the call of Mary's call to penance, said at Lourdes, Our Lady said, "Penance, penance, penance." She said it three times, just in case we missed it the first or the second time. She wanted us to be certain that she was serious. Penance is necessary. And so, to refuse this call of Mary to penance is also to refuse the very call of her Son's gospel. Now, I won't go on too long, because I know that the last sermon of the day is always the most difficult to listen to, because you've been here all day and it's very easy to let your eyes close over and go into very deep meditation. So I'll keep it short and we'll skip straight to the practical part. What can we do then? Okay, so we find out that penance is a part of our life that we need to do, a part of our life that we can't ignore. If you want to be real Christians, then we have to do it. We're into Lent, and very shortly, 21st or 22nd, in a couple of weeks, will be Ash Wednesday, and God is going to be waiting for us to do some sacrifices so that he might shower upon us his graces. Sometimes we might get a little bit scared of doing something, and so we do nothing. Other times we might get carried away and do something so great that after the first 3 days we're exhausted and we have to sleep for the rest of Lent. So you've got to find the medium. If you can do something great, that's great. If God gives you that grace, you can do that. But we need to do something that touches our core as well. Even something small. People say, oh, I can't even give up coffee. If I don't drink coffee, I get a headache, then I'm angry all day. Okay, fair enough. Don't give up coffee, but you need to become a bit imaginative. How do you take your coffee? Do you take sugar in your coffee? Good, don't take sugar in your coffee during Lent. And when you get used to that, put sugar back in your coffee again. You know, you need to torture yourself just a little bit. Just so that you're keeping on top of, you're showing your body who's boss, you know. Because if we let our bodies be boss, then we'll go in the place where the bodies will burn forever. We don't want to go there. Another thing, you know, sugar, one thing, milk, etc. You know, if you like a hot meal at the end of the day, eat it cold or something, etc., etc. Eat the strawberry ice cream instead of the chocolate ice cream if it's a Sunday. Anything you like. If you have a packet of Tim Tams in front of you, just eat one of them, you know, if that's possible. These little things are important. These little things you can offer to God, and God is very pleased to have them. And in doing so, you make yourself stronger. So that with these little things, you can say no to your body. Say, no, no, this coffee's terrible. Just put one sugar in it and everything will be okay. I'll be happy if I just have one sugar. If you can refuse yourself such a little thing when big things come along, you'll be much stronger to confront them. And the big things will come along, the big temptations, the big trials that God wants to prove us, wants to make us merit heaven. And so he will send us these things. Another practical suggestion is instead of giving up food and things like that, which is the normal way, the fasting of Lent, that is certainly something that we should all do in some regard, there is also the sacrifice of time. Especially if you're big TV watchers. I'd be very happy if you just threw your TV out for Lent. I can give you a spare sledgehammer. I'm sure I can find one around here somewhere. Or your computer. How much time do you spend surfing the web uselessly, out of vain curiosity? How much time do you spend on Facebook, which is something which is still a little bit foreign to me? I left the world just before it all came out. I remember in Italy talking to some youngsters on a camp. He says they're on Facebook till 2 a.m. Now, from what I understand of it, I can't understand how you could be, but nevertheless, obviously it's possible. These kind of things we can give up and we should give up, not just during Lent. Huh? And then we need to put something in their place. Since this is about Our Lady, how about an extra rosary? Or how about a rosary, if you're not praying any rosaries? If you're not praying any rosaries, let Lent be the time when you start praying it. If you are, then let Lent be the time when you start praying an extra one. Or if you're already praying all 4 mysteries, you can't fit in another mystery, pray an extra decade. Do something extra, something more for our Lord. Show him that you're not satisfied with your love for him up until now. Show him that you want to give more. And if you want to really be holy, do a holy hour. Get a holy hour every day during Lent. This is something myself I've experienced. I did that, then I ended up being a friar. I hope that's not discouraging anyone to start doing a holy hour. Of course, there's always the almsgiving as well, the almsgiving, which means to give to the poor, to give to good charities, etc. And prayer. Prayer and penance, by the way, are very closely linked. You cannot have one without the other. If you're doing one without the other, there's something very unbalanced in your life. Prayer itself can be a penance. Sometimes praying in community can be penance. One wants to pray fast, one wants to pray slow, one's praying a different translation of the words, and so it can be quite frustrating. It might need some extra patience, but all these things we offer up to God as a small sacrifice. All these things we need to think of during Lent. We need to remember Our Lady's call for penance. We need to remember also that, I think it has already been mentioned today, but in Fatima, Our Lady said, many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and do penance. And maybe that someone, that no one, that someone who's not doing penance is us. Maybe some souls are going to hell because we're not doing penance. And that's a thought too terrible to ponder, to think that someone will suffer for all eternity because of my lack of generosity. Another way, though, that we need to not be discouraged, or rather to be encouraged, a way to be encouraged is to know that with the more prayer we do and the more penance we do, the more we learn to love God. You know, there was a song many years ago, it was a Wendy's ad, the ice cream shop, if it still exists, I don't know if it still exists. They had that song from the 60s, 50s, 70s, in that era, "To Know You Is To Love You." It's true. And so we know God, and the more we know God, we love Him. And through prayer, we come to know Him more. And through penance, we come to be more like Him. We imitate Him more. The more that we suffer willingly for love of Him and for love of souls, the more we imitate Him as He suffered for us on the cross. We just need to meditate on this very beautiful crucifix here. You can't miss this crucifix. That is what God is calling us to imitate. And the more we come to know Him, and the more we come to love Him, and the more we come to imitate Him, the sweeter do the crosses, the sweeter does penance become. And we start to seek it out. And then people start to call us insane. And then we know we're on the right track. Now, it doesn't mean that at the end of this, I'd like you all to go out and scourge yourselves to blood until you collapse. Clearly, that's not what's going on. Some of the saints have had that. It's been a very special grace. But it does mean that we need to start conforming ourselves all the more to Jesus Christ crucified, just as our Blessed Mother did so perfectly in her own life. Until we do reach that point where I believe it was St. Teresa of Avila, although I need to check my sources, when she got to the point where she could say, "A day without a cross, what a cross." Her biggest penance was not having anything to suffer, which is something to get your mind around. So let us make a resolution this Lent, and before Lent, let us prepare ourselves. Let us do a little bit of psychological preparation, and more importantly, spiritual preparation, with prayers asking our Lord and our Lady for strength, that this Lent may be unlike any other. Let us not waste another Lent. We have wasted very many. If we're 20 years old, we've probably wasted 20. Well, maybe 5, because you can't start fasting until I think you're 14 or 16. I forget. Nevertheless, let us not waste another one. Even if we've reached 80 years old and we haven't done anything during Lent up until now, now's the Lent to shine. Let us pray to our Blessed Mother in these weeks coming up. Let us pray to her, especially under the title of Our Lady of Lourdes, who I'm very blessed, and by the providence of God, the image is right here to my right. Let us pray to her that she might teach us what it means to do penance. The penance that she asked of Saint Bernadette, and that she asked of each one of us at Lourdes. Let us pray that we might do this, because the reason you're all here today is that you want to be pleasing to God. And to be pleasing to God means to be holy, and to be holy means to be saintly. And we want to be saints. The world has no idea what it means to be holy. The world laughs and mocks when we say we want to be saints. It laughs at the idea of being holy. In fact, if you say to somebody, you know, "You can't do that. That's not good. Father, give me a break. I ain't no saint." But why not? You're supposed to be. God asks that of us. The will of God is your holiness. We must be holy as God is holy. How many times does Holy Scripture have to tell us? And the means to holiness is just this: penance. Not just penance for penance's sake, not just suffering to suffer, because that would be evil in itself. That would not be good. But suffering for love. Suffering for love of God. Suffering as an expression of our love for God, because surely it's not something we would choose ourselves. But it is something that we give up, a good that we give up for a greater good. Let us then pray again to Our Lady of Lourdes. Let us pray to Saint Bernadette. Let us pray to all those who have gone before us, that they might instill in us not just a portion of their spirit, but a double portion of their spirit. Let us not be lacking in generosity. Let us not be afraid of what God asks of us, because He will not ask of us anything which is beyond our capacity or beyond the capacity of His grace, of His love. Let us pray then for this, that by the end of this Lent, we might be truly glowing in the dark with the transformation that has come over us, that we might change the world that we live in, at least the world of our own families, of our own towns. We know that there is much need of this. We know that the greatest need the world has now is not food or drinking water or even peace in the sense of no war. What it needs is holiness. Let us strive then to be holy. This is what God calls us to be. This is what the church expects of her children. And this is also what we want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.